This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake Up Call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and maximize their potential for life. I teach a night class on church history to a group of pastors and some lay people. The class meets in a church about 40-45 minutes from where I live. Well, this past week, I was right in the middle of a lecture on the Inquisition of the Middle Ages when the electricity went off in the church where our class meets. It wasn't a total surprise because the forecast for that night included the possibility of bad weather. One of the pastors said as we sat there in the dark, "This is a sign. It's time to get out of here." And so everyone scattered from the building faster than kids do when the bell rings dismissing school on the last day of class in May. And so there I was in my little car pulling out for my 45-minute drive in the midst of a storm. And at that moment, I got a call from my wife telling me to stay put until the weather cleared. But what was I supposed to do? The electricity was out in the church and everyone had left. And besides, as far as I knew, the building didn't have a basement anyway. So I took off, following close behind one of my students who was driving a pickup truck. I found fate comfort in thinking that maybe his rear view lights could keep me at least on the road because the rain was beginning to pour and visibility was bad. Well, then I got a voicemail from my wife. Her call had apparently not connected in the inclement weather. Back home, she said they had a tornado warning and had been told to take shelter. So what to do? I had no shelter to take. I prayed really hard, a desperate prayer for God's protection. I prayed all the way back home, especially when I and several other travelers along the road had to pull over because it was storming so bad we couldn't see the road. And as I'm guessing you've figured out since I'm telling you this story, I did make it back home safe and sound. And everyone at home, including my neighbors, were safe from the storm as well. I sighed a deep breath of relief as I pulled into the garage that night, and Lori greeted me with a big, loving smile. I immediately thanked the Lord. I didn't forget his favor to us. I spoke a brief prayer of thanksgiving. But you know, within minutes I was caught up in the story of what had happened at home and the weather reporter's forecast and the reports of where the storms had been and the damage that some had experienced and what was going to happen later that night in the weather forecast. Well, late that night as I was crawling into bed, I mentioned to Lori, "You know, my prayer of thanks was not nearly as intense as my request to protect me during the storm." Now, how many times do we do that? I mean, we pray and pray and pray a lot when we're in the midst of the storm, and then when the Lord takes us through the storm, we sometimes, well, maybe often, forget to give thanks. And even when we do, we sometimes pray like we're tipping our hat to the doorman. The psalmist prayed like this in Psalm 116:1. "I love the Lord because he's heard my appeal for mercy. Because he has turned his ear to me, I will call to him as long as I live." I think he was saying he would keep in a spirit of prayer as long as he lived. When you're in great need and when the times are desperate, cry out to God. Don't hesitate to come to the Father, even if you've been lax in your prayer life up to that moment. We should go to him in prayer, and we should depend on him. But also, stop and give thanks for what he has done. You don't have to have a storm to have that kind of desperation in your prayer. Again, the psalmist prayed like this in Psalm 63:1-2. "God," the psalmist prayed, "you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a dry land that is desolate and without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory." And then I like Psalm 46:4, where it talks about a river. There's a river. The streams delight in the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. Well, there's no river in Jerusalem. Not a literal river, but the psalmist is talking about the Lord's presence and the blessings that flow like a river to the believer when we pray. So, get before God and bask in his presence and then rest in that. I mean, relax in that. Before I drifted off to sleep that night of the storm, I tried to mimic my desperation and I prayed with Lori another prayer of thanksgiving. And then I had a sweet sleep. So remember your desperation. See, you can stay desperate. Recall the words of that Psalm 63. My body or my soul really faints for you and thirsts for you in a dry and weary land. I'll use the words from a popular beverage commercial, but in a completely different way. It talks about staying thirsty. Well, stay thirsty, my friend. Stay thirsty. Stay thirsty for God. Stay thirsty for God. And then come back here next week and join me. And in the meantime, go out there and be the person God created you to be.